Our reading today is called Slant by Suji Kwok Kim. If the angle of an eye is all, the slant of hope, the slant of dreaming, according to each life, what is the light of this city? Light of Lady Liberty, possessor of the most famous armpit in the world. Light of the lovers on Chinese soap operas throwing barbecue ducks at each other with that live it up while you're young, woo-me kind of love. Light of the old men sitting on crates outside shops, selling dried seahorses and plastic temples of heaven. Light of the yin and yang junk palace. Light of the Golden Phoenix hair salon. Light of wig-o-ramas. Light of the suntanners in Central Park turning over like rotisserie chicken sizzling on a spit. Light of the pluck you and gone and the wings. Fried chicken shops, the parking meter leaners, the glamazons, the oglers wearing fern wilting quantities of cologne, strutting, trash talking, glorious. The immigrants, the refugees, the peddlers, stockbrokers and janitors, stenographers and cooks, all of us making and unmaking ourselves, hurrying toward who will become one way only, one life only, free in time, but not free from it. Here in a city that the living make together, and make and unmake over and over. Quick, quick, ask heaven of it, of every mortal relation, feeling that is fleeing. For what would the heart be without a heaven to set it on? I can't help thinking no word will ever be as full of life as this world. I can't help thinking of thanks. A few years ago, I was recovering from a throat surgery, and I found myself the recipient of two very large casseroles. One of an overcooked four cheese macaroni and cheese, and one of shepherd's pie that was at least half, probably more, composed of mashed potatoes. It was enough to feed a family of six for a week, but it was just me at home. With a half-hearted, thanks so much, I quickly froze half of it. Sheepishly, I figured that most of it would go wasted, lost somewhere in the back of the freezer, since I believed I would feel better enough to return to eating foods of many different colors and shapes and textures soon enough. Unfortunately, not soon after just a couple meals with the casseroles, I had another infection, which prevented me from returning to those much beloved regular meals. Living alone, new to Los Angeles, I was unable to get back to work right away. Money that was coming in was spent on the unexpected medical bills and the usual basic needs. I was also simply too tired, too overworked with the work of recovering to really think about what it might take to buy groceries in those days before Instacart or Amazon Prime Now or all those grocery delivery apps. I had to rest my voice to recover my throat and prevent damage to my vocal cords. Day in, day out, I gathered just enough strength to walk Violet the dog, defrost and reheat a portion of the blessed white-colored mushy foods. There were moments of intense self-pity, dragging myself to the fridge and spooning out more of the same. I love cheese, but this was really a bit much. I love mashed potatoes, but I was yearning for a yam, just one beautiful yam. Even more than variety at mealtime, though, I longed for someone to share the casserole with, a friend or neighbor. I knew it was a matter of time for me to recover. I knew that I was not dying. All would be well, and I'd return to my rightful place in the social relationships that I valued. My extrovert would be okay. I'd soon be able to talk without pain. The loneliness, isolation would subside. Still, none of this pattern of my existence quite made sense. The challenges felt unfair and mystifying. I was supposed to have felt better. I was supposed to have made more progress. I was supposed to be able to work by now. I was supposed to have forgotten those darn casseroles in the back of the darn freezer. And yes, the day came quickly when I had more visitors, and I gained back my voice, and the infection disappeared. I returned to work. I bought groceries. I could eat foods that crunched and were green and red, sweet and spicy. As I scrubbed out the Pyrex casserole dishes, I felt a wave, a rush. I was suddenly filled with this warmth, overcome with this feeling of gratitude. Not just for my generous friends who did not know fully the good they had done with their gesture of the mushy food kindness, but with the utter blessing of being alive. The very basic sustenance, the ridiculousness of 2 weeks of defrosting and reheating two casseroles, filled me with an all-encompassing thanks. Frederick and Mary Ann Broussette call gratitude not a state of mind, not a state of being, but a grammar, an underlying structure that helps us construct and make sense of our lives. The rules of this grammar cover all of our activities. Its syntax reveals a system of relationships that link us to the divine and to each other in our own part of the creation. Can even a casserole take on this mystical structural power? In the world of self-help mantras or the marketing of products in late-stage capitalism, it's tempting to give thanks for the material products and objects around us, or to think that if we're not fully or commonsensically happy, we might not be capable of cherishing life. The act of naming and their specificity our appreciations of life's gifts connects us instantly to a force more vast and powerful than ourselves, to the truth beyond our current understanding. That moment where we don't have to, for any earthly reason, tell someone thank you, but we do it anyway. The apple left on a teacher's desk, would they not have taught the class without it? Nope, class, there's no apple. I'm out of here. So why do we do it? For what? The wisdom of after the play date, when you turn your child back around to the friend's front door, did you thank the Lomaxes for having you over? One could say that those things are unnecessary. You knew that your kid was going to be invited back anyway, most of the time. When you can be certain that your beloved is aware of how much you truly appreciate all that she has done for you, but you take the time again and again, and you mean it every time. Thank you. We state the obvious. We make it tangible. We are mindful because we know too well the existence of confusion and of anguish in the world. Physician Ira Bjork writes that our lives can too easily become habitual, insulating us from the experience of what a miracle it is to be alive and how much is given to us in every moment. While shootings in communities not too different from our own capture our attention and our concern and our care, we can reach out of our isolation and tenderly express our thankfulness in community, because gratitude costs us nothing. Whether our debts are greater than our income, whether our mistakes in life are many or few, whether we experience small kindnesses in small and large doses, or whether we feel that we deserved that goodness or not. Reverend Marta Valentin's words ring in my ears. Spirit of compassion, you know that if we were never to give thanks, that these gifts would still abound. I was not expecting to be swept up by thankfulness at the kitchen sink, cleaning Pyrex, Relieved? Sure. Sick and tired of being sick and tired? You bet. Grateful? Well, I had sent the friend a thank you email, but what was presenting itself was a different shape of awareness. My own rational mind could have easily dismissed my tears of gratitude for being alive as redundant, unnecessary, silly. In her book, Praying Dangerously, Regina Sarah Ryan writes that another reason we turn logical with our gratitude is that it can be terrifying. The wonder of a moment in which there is nothing but an upwelling of simple happiness is utterly awesome. Gratitude is so close to the bone of life, pure and true, that it instantly stops the rational mind and all its planning and plotting. That kind of let go can sometimes feel fiercely threatening. I mean, where would such gratitude end? No wonder I was caught off guard by this moment of gratitude with two casseroles. Turning logical was more familiar than the free fall of gratitude for my connection to others, to the earth, to the sustaining of my own heartbeat. I wonder perhaps if I had turned to Thanksgiving earlier in those miserable mornings, maybe I'd be willing to have reached out again for more help during those 2 weeks of serious illness. For gratitude is also an admission that the fabric of community is one built on reciprocity. If our pets or our kin bring joy to our lives, then we are responsible for caring for them. I offer my thanks because I know that there will come a time when you need me too. According to Native American science writer Robin Wall Kimmerer, asking what is our responsibility is the same as asking what is our gift. We become what we practice. And so it is with the spiritual practice of gratitude in religious life, including our very own here in Santa Clarita. As a new minister among you, it can be tempting to hit the ground running, to speed off, hurrying forwards towards who we think will become, like the poet Suji Kwakim wrote. But rather than rush and risk that we will make and unmake ourselves over and over, I want to invite us together into a gentler start. In our beginning, I'll be taking time to notice, how do you enrich each other's lives as Unitarian Universalists? What do you cherish about this congregation, about this community? Who is responsible for what and why? What are your and their and each of our gifts? What is the shape of your greatest joys together? Today is my only Sunday with you in a service this month, but I still want to connect with you during the rest of August. I invite you to join me in practicing Gratitude Mondays, a ritual of bringing our attention to the ways, both big and small, that we're connected to community. You can start your week with me by tuning into the things that give you those feelings of thankfulness. We can all be gratitude detectives. You might do as I do and write a thank you note and mail it to someone who has shown you a kindness. And in fact, I've left many thank you notes in the social hall with some of our congregation's information on the back, and even some envelopes with postage for you to take home with you. Or you can find your own way of expressing gratitude. And then let me know how it went. This is about getting connected and beginning our gentle start. What happened to your body or spirit when you tried noticing, slowing down to feel the thankfulness and gratitude for the things that you cherish? One way we can connect is by phone, in person, during my office hours. And don't you worry, you'll see a notice for all this stuff in email or Facebook. No need to write it down now. And of course, we can find each other again on September 1st, Labor Day weekend. Wow, I am overcome with how glad I am that you exist. I saw some of your beautiful faces at the rally for refugees yesterday and Facebook photos showing up for justice and our first principle, belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. What might our gratitude for the gift of love make possible if we let it ripple out? I am thrilled to be among you. Let us create a culture of gratitude by living into our reciprocity, into our gifts, those that we send out and receive all week long. We too can notice what is good and beautiful and kind. Mindful of life's gifts and its finitude, may gratitude flow freely from one heart to another. May all know more love and more freedom. May it be so.